Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to the Sports Injury Central podcast. This one is special because it is the Week 5 weekend edition. As we do this leading up to Sunday's games with last-minute information, Friday injury report statuses, game statuses, and we'll even touch on some of the team advantages, over-under advantages, etc. We have an exciting new feature. We're excited to be part of the Believe Network, but this week we have an exciting feature called the Injury Edge. And Jacob, take them through it a little bit and show them what that is. And that right now it's all free, right?
Yeah, I got a little promo for it. So it's our new matchup tool, pretty much. So you can break down NFL matchups by injury, but focusing on the injury advantage. It's free for all users this week. And then next week is going to be part of Sick Data, which is just $2.99 per week. Check it out now. It's a great tool. I mean, that's how we break down our props and sides and all that stuff during the week. So it's nice to have it all in one place.
Well, I'm still a proponent of looking more granular at the field views, flipping offense to defense, looking at cluster injuries. But the biggest, comment we have is we give people so much data. They're like, I don't have time to go through it all. And so this Injury Edge is quick collated information. You know, literally, if you're Sunday morning, you can take a quick look. And look, if the injury advantages match what you say, maybe you want to go 2 units. If they go against what you're feeling, maybe you should temper and go half a unit or hold off or something, right? It's a tool for you. Now, I prefer going old school. For example, you've got, two running backs you're trying to decide between to play in fantasy. Why wouldn't you look at the health of the offensive line of both of those players? Why wouldn't you look at the health of the front seven that they're playing against and basically adjust the fantasy projections based on that? Sure, you can throw in scheme, you can throw in what you're thinking, but you don't have to do the work, etc. Or if a secondary is really banged up, like if you're deciding between two quarterbacks or a wide receiver, look at the defense that they're facing. And that you can still do through Sick Data, but this Injury Edge gives you the quick twitch, quick look thing that you can do. But we'll give it to you all right here too as you keep listening. We'll have some picks for you, right, Jacob, and some leans. But more importantly, let's go through some of the key injuries. And I think you've got a big list. And this is recorded on Friday. So it'll be germane through Saturday, Sunday, through the 90-minute inactives here for you to get a pulse on what is likely to happen and make some plans for fantasy DFS or wagering needs. Our late week or almost early week 5, the week 5 weekend report here, Sports Injury Central on the Believe Network.
Yeah, I know everyone's excited about Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor. We'll get to them a little later. Amon-Ra St. Brown's probably the biggest question mark heading into the weekend. Dan Campbell himself said they're going to watch his status over the next 24 hours and see what he can do. Didn't practice all week, questionable with the abdomen injury. By video, kind of seemed like groin maybe on the first touchdown he scored on Thursday, but he has had the long rest. What do we think from him, Doc?
Yeah, well, I got to shout the entire Sports Injury Central staff out, and we even have some spotters out there, etc. There's no way I can look at all of this. You guys collate it and then give it to me and go, what do you think? Does this make sense? And all the information. And, we do a lot here. First of all, the initial inclination is Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy that doesn't miss time. He
one played, game in his career.
Yeah, and he's played through that turf toe even earlier this season. Mm-hmm. And he didn't come out of the game. We didn't really see a whole lot. But what starts to make me nervous is besides the DNPs, his coach, Dan Campbell, kind of isn't afraid of anything. He's not afraid to tell the world he drinks 17 shots of espresso in the morning. I mean, he doesn't Like, he's the kind of coach who says, we'll tell you who's in and who's out. It doesn't matter. We're still going to beat you. Mm-hmm. It's played on the field. And mm-hmm. I don't see him playing as many games as other coaches. And that's not negative. It's just his style, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just to go off on a mini tangent, Jamal Adams, his head coach said, oh, I don't think he was yelling at the red hat. He was yelling at someone in the stands or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Pollyanna Pete, you know, trying to be positive
making
for his players.
Situation.
Making
he didn't see the on. National yeah. broadcast that showed it yeah. clearly.
Yeah. I know. And of course, Jamal Adams is not being disciplined for yelling at him.
And put out a statement apologizing for it and all that stuff.
Whether he apologized or not, he shouldn't be disciplined, right? Because he didn't hit him and he doesn't know him from Adam, right? It's just a different thing. And, you know, we talked internally. I mean, in theory, because patient privacy is number one, Jamal Adams next time could say, I don't want the red hat in the room because it's his medical care, right? And kind of thing. Now, the NFL could say, if he's not in the room, you're not going to be cleared to return ever. That's a whole nother situation. The bottom line is I support Jamal Adams. There's no reason he should be penalized, and he's not. But getting back on track, coach speak, Dan Campbell has his own brand of coach speak, but it's not to hide information. I think they're – look, I think what's happening is Amon-Ra St. Brown says, don't worry about me. I'm good to go. And Dan Campbell saying, well, let's just look at you on Sunday and make sure that you can go. I think that's where they're at. Favorable matchup this week, and we'll get that in terms of the secondary. But the injury itself, we in live time from the war room did not see anything. But you all, in addition, the spotters went back and looked, and the first touchdown, when he gets up, and we'll show it here, he kind of momentarily goes to the groin. And you're going to say, well, groin, it's listed as abdomen. Where the rectus abdominis and lower abdominals meet at the symphysis pubis, that's where the adductor groin muscles are, and that's where core muscle injuries are. So that's consistent with where he momentarily reaches to. Now, Amon-Ra St. Brown's toughness, he finished the game. But it wasn't St. Brown-like. I mean, four catches. This was first quarter, the video there. And then subsequently, four catches for 32 yards.
Right.
That might be the signs of someone toughing it out. So at this point, our best thing is we think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to try and go. That's his history. And depending on how he feels, will the team let him go? So if you have him in fantasy, I guess – pretty much have to play him.
Oh, unless, you got to play him.
Yeah. Unless you have an embarrassment of riches at the position or something, you have to play him. But for DFS, if he's got a high number, high salary still, I don't know that that's your value play this week in terms of what's happening.
Especially with the buys this week, right? So there's less options on the bench, so you might be more inclined to start St. Brown.
Well, I'd take him on my team. If even though I don't think this is going to be his banner week. Per se, he's at less than 100%, lowered six score, but I do believe he's still lobbying to try and play. And we have found perhaps to play that first quarter touchdown where he injures his groin lower abdominals and they're resting him. And look, it is something, the bigger issue is how long it will linger, not is he playing this week.
Right.
And we'll see. Remember, he can want to play and the coaches can say, no, let's rest you here. Going forward here, and we'll have to see what happens, but check back with the 90-minute inactives. But as of right now, we think he's trying to play through. He did finish the game. We identified it in the first quarter, and that's where we are in Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Well, we'll get to our bigger mismatch of the week, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. We're going to dive into that matchup with all the key statuses, questionables like that, but let me read two and then I'll throw it to Taylor. Vitae likely to be back from his knee, Dan Campbell said in the presser. Miles Sanders for the Panthers, groin LP, LPFP. So he's going to play through again, played through last week with limited effectiveness. Taylor, can you tell us why we're leaning towards Detroit 9.5 again this early Friday? So it might move. But
so they, even with St. Brown, it might lower a little bit. They have about a 12-point differential in their six scores right now. So that's one of our top games. We do like a 5-pick consensus picks, you know, usually articles and everything. So that might be one of our top plays this week. And it's because Carolina's secondary, right? Dante Jackson's been recovering from Achilles last year, ankle not playing well. Now he's not a chance not to play this week.
You have shoulder, I think it is.
Yes. You have J.C. Horn missing another game. And then you have Xavier Woods, the free safety, who's been dealing with a hamstring, who missed last week, possibility of missing this week as well. So that's three out of their four starting secondary.
And the return of?
Who?
stumped all of us.
Jameson Williams. Right?
Jameson
I was like, wait a second.
His second
about Carolina for a second.
His second year after ACL
recovery.
And this was a suspension for gambling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's still a young wide receiver, but it's a return of, and that may buoy any of the Amon-Ra St. Brown effect. Taylor Decker is back, et cetera. And look, just by the pure numbers, Detroit is the healthier side here. And they do have the passing attack to take advantage of the secondary.
Yeah.
So, you know, take a look at the field view. That's still the way to go. The injury edge gives you the quick snapshot. You know,
this is a visual snapshot.
To me, if you're someone who wants to do your homework and think it through all the way, it's still the field views. But if you're someone's like, just give it to me quick.
It's a cram session right before you get to class.
You want to read
the cram for week five.
Look, you want to read the book or you want the cliff notes? The kids nowadays have cliff notes.
I know what Ryan wants.
They have cliff notes online now.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not the little yellow and black book they used to give out.
They pull the cliff notes up on their phone under the desk and they're scrolling through them.
We had the cliff notes, all right? We were for that.
Let's talk Saquon a little bit, and then I want to get your guys' thoughts on the Giants at Miami matchup. Really interesting one as far as injuries. Saquon, we have him at a 76-6 score right now. DNP, LP, LP is going to be listed as questionable with that right high ankle from mid-September. If he plays, Doc, what's he going to look like out there?
I don't think he's 100% yet. Now, he's Saquon, so he's pretty darn good, but he's not 100%. And are they going to run him 20 carries or still have a little bit of a split first week back? It's not impossible that he still misses, right? But I get it. If you have him on fantasy, you almost have to play him.
Right.
And my bigger concern, as much as we're concerned for Saquon, the 76, this is what I'm saying. We don't trust that offensive line. There's three of the five right now that are likely out for this game.
Two out of three have officially been out.
Two of the three officially, but three out of the five maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And you saw what a hot mess they were in their Monday night contest, right? And that's tough. And then, you know, if Miami gets out to any sort of lead, and what sort of usage do you have for Saquon? So, look, if you drafted him high, I guess, and he's active, I guess you have to play him. But, you know, from a prop perspective or a DFS perspective, he's probably not your best value this week. And, you know, let's see where the prop numbers come out on him. They haven't come out yet, whether in carries or yards. And I will say, if they're normal, healthy Saquon usage, you probably should take advantage of that on the under. But they're not out yet. So 76, basically, at best, if Saquon's projected to get, you know, 20 fantasy points, let's just say, you can't expect more than three-fourths of that. You know,
there's similarities in their offensive line issues, too, because the center was hurt for the Dolphins as well, and the left guard for both teams had to shift over to center. So there's a lot of movement on both offensive lines, which also affects their issues.
Yeah, and, you know, an early look at this, and we're not finalized with the numbers yet, we're going to do some more work on it. But you guys are saying that, you know, with both sides, no Teron Armstead.
No left tackle for both teams. Yeah.
No left tackle for both. No center for both. Mm-hmm. There may be a little under situation here. I get it. Miami's very explosive.
Yeah, 47.5 in a game with Miami is usually a smash over. But given the both offensive line issues, Daniel Jones was sacked 10 times against the Seahawks last week. So going to be an issue against Miami, too, you'd think.
All right. What do we have next here?
Cooper Kupp talking like he's going to be back. I think McVay said exactly that he'd be good to go on Sunday against Philadelphia. It's kind of a little head scratcher because the setback was August 31st. They stuck him on IR. This is the first week he's eligible to come back. They designated him. He's been full practice. Practice video came out looking good to the layman, looked good to me and Taylor. So what if he's active, what is he going to do out there?
Well, here's the thing. I don't ever want to doubt Cooper Kupp. He's Cooper Kupp. He's awesome. But look at the pattern here. You went from training camp hamstring to re-aggravation. Immediately, the Rams were saying day-to-day, no, nothing to see here. And we were saying, week to week, and then it quickly became injured reserve, flying to the body specialist in Minnesota.
I was waiting for you to say that, the body specialist.
I just don't know what that means, yes, the body specialist, whatever. But in any case, now immediately off of IR, now tactically, remember, he was LP the first week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And Sean McVay contradicted that. Oh, no, he was full of practice. He was out there for
everything. That's Ron Burgundy thing, yeah.
But the whole thing is this. Yeah. The definition is full practice if you do everything they ask you.
Right.
Limited practice is everything from doing 99% of what they ask of you to 1% of what they ask of you.
It's a huge range, yeah.
So, you know, the question is, the coach could say, well, he did everything we asked of him. Or if we would ask more, he would have been limited, right? And so he did everything that we expected him to do, does qualify as full practice. But here's the thing. Do you really expect Cooper Kupp to take 70 snaps in his first week back after the re-aggravation? So I think here's once again, who knows what the props are, instead of targets and yards,
nothing
and the whole deal,
yeah.
Or the completions, nothing out yet. Mm-hmm. But if they're normal for Cooper Kupp, I get it. If you drafted Cooper Kupp in the fantasy draft, and he likely went in your first round,
yeah,
you've been waiting for him. You got to play him right at this point in time. But DFS or prop wise, I don't know that there's a lot of value there. Here's the other thing, you know, I don't know what the books are going to do with Puka Nacau. You know, now maybe taking some of the targets, there's going to be a little bit of a spread and so forth. And I don't see him. Look, do I see him at this point playing? Clearly, there's signal he's playing. Is he more of a decoy? Is he more of a less target share? I mean, if he plays 30 snaps, that'd be a pretty good outing for him. And
we have 78-6 scores. So, yeah, we're not expecting.
We're not expecting a lot. If anything, we're being optimistic on him right there.
Right.
Yeah, just rounding out that game, Matthew Stafford with the hip contusion is going to play through, no issues. Kyron Williams also picked up a hip contusion late in overtime, but also not an issue. He's been limited in practice a little bit, but expecting him to play through.
Matt Stafford and Kyron Williams, their six scores are in the 90s. We don't see any downgrade for anything with them related to that. Yeah, everyone saw Matthew Stafford limping around, hip pointer, hip contusion. It can be injected. He also plays through everything, and he's not exactly mobile. He's got the strong arm. So I don't see any downgrade at all for Matthew Stafford or Kyron Williams this
just
weekend.
The Eagles defense is the thing to watch out for them, right? Yeah.
Yes.
No, but Fletcher Cox, N'Kobe Dean still out. It's kind of getting Swiss cheesy a little bit.
The Eagles, Cox one we're worried about, right? An epidural is nothing to just, oh, no big deal, nothing to see here. This means there's some nerve root involvement, and that can linger.
Right.
Look, some reporters have said nothing to see here. At most, he misses one game.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he's more likely to end up needing surgery than to not miss any time.
Surgery during the season, not waiting till after the season?
Surgery during or after or whatever.
Right.
It's not the typical pattern. When you get an epidural, that means you have nerve root involvement. And it's the unusual case where, oh, I got one injection and I'm all better and everything is behind me. So this is where we have some worry about Fletcher Cox. And yeah, they've got some issues, the Eagles on their offensive line there. And that's an interesting game to look at too. And if you're looking at this on Sunday, we'll already have some information up at SIC Score on this and other stuff as we get the final reports and formulate some of the final opinions. But we just want to get this stuff out to you right now.
Yeah, Rams are plus 4.5 in that game. We'll see if that moves. Just want to go back to the Carolina and Detroit matchup. Monra officially listed as doubtful, and Jahmyr Gibbs is questionable with a hamstring that popped up today. So he was LP today.
And he's a speed threat
with
a
hamstring.
That would be an issue for Gibbs. Yeah,
that's a big deal. And if anything, here goes David Montgomery again, right?
28
and,
carries, maybe more. Right?
Yeah,
yeah. And Jahmyr Gibbs, not so much, right? Because speed guy. Amara St. Brown, doubtful. So they're being honest. Like, typically, doubtful does not play.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think it's
now he's saying, out of your lineup now, right?
Yeah, I think you have to plan for him being out. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the timing of your games and who do you have, and you know whether it's inside 90 minutes to be sure, but you have to make some plans there,
right?
With the doubtful for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I just want to touch on Jonathan Taylor, and then we'll get to the big deep dive matchup injuries, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That's that could fill up a whole podcast, so we'll get to that shortly. Jonathan Taylor, we got a 6-score at 91. I don't know if that's too high. You tell us, Doc.
Well,
but it was always team related, right? It was always team and contract. It wasn't a lingering ankle surgery recovery from late January.
We never worried about his ankle. I think this was other issues. This was hiding behind health. The question is who, the team or Jonathan Taylor? 6-score at 91. Remember, that's just a health score. Right. That's not a utilization
scheme,
score,
all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. And, is he split carries with Zach Moss now because Zach Moss has done well recently? Does he split carries because he just is, you know, he's in the early
first
acclimation
week back,
first
yeah.
week back? Yeah. Or does he become the bell cow because maybe the Colts still want to trade him? And remember what we said, you can't trade someone who's injured.
This is the first week to showcase him in a way.
And if you yeah. run him 20-plus times and he gets 150 yards – there you go. Now
trade value through the roof.
His yeah. trade value is through the roof mm-hmm. and he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so we've never were worried, you know, before Jonathan Taylor came out and said, I'm not worried about it. I'm trying to play. That put the contractual issue aside.
Right.
We always knew his ankle was okay. Now the issue of what to do with Jonathan Taylor is a usage thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you got to get inside the minds of the coaches and the people in the building. But from a health perspective, we're not worried about Jonathan Taylor and really weren't from the get-go.
Yeah. Getting to Baltimore, we always have internal debates on them every week because they're the least healthy team, but they're killing
well.
It against the spread. Yeah, yeah, the spread does not incorporate the John Harbaugh factor of excellent coaching. So big one this week. I'll go through the injury report real quick. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be back from his ankle. Bateman is also returning from his hamstring. Ronnie Stanley was FPFP and then DNP, so he's listed as questionable, but might be more of a maintenance thing. Remember, he missed 2 weeks with a knee. I don't mm-hmm. think he returned last week. Marcus Williams, the safety with the pec, is going to be back. Marlon Humphrey, possibly back. He LP'd all week with the foot surgery recovery, so he's listed as questionable. And then Justice Hill, questionable with a hamstring / toe. That he played through the toe last week. I think the hamstring's new. So,
yeah, and don't forget Tyler Lindebaum.
Came
back last week, yeah. But now a week healthier off the high ankle sprain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they got some reinforcements at edge, you know.
Morgan Moses is not going to miss the game, which is big, too.
That's the right tackle, yes, yeah.
With the shoulder. Yeah.
So even though if you really look at the field view, although the and you need to look at sick data to see this, but we'll give it to you here. This is something that the injury edge misses because it just gives you the current score. But if you look at the what we call the delta, Baltimore Ravens were at an all-time low in terms of injury. They're rising, mm-hmm. and Pittsburgh yeah. is falling. Kenny Pickett, he's going to play, but you know he's off the injury report. That doesn't mean he's 100%.
Right. Joe Burrow's off the injury report.
Yeah, last I saw, he's still limping around some, right? Now, they also have a bye next week, so maybe as much as sometimes you say, Austin Eckler, week 4, let's sit you because now there's a week 5 bye for the Chargers. We want you back 100%. Sometimes it's, look, if you make it more sore, now I have an extra week to recover. And, you know, quarterbacks want to play, and, you know, I get it. Maybe he doesn't want to see Mitch Trubisky in there. Maybe he wants to be there for his team. I think
he's divisional as well, which is you said.
Divisional is key. He's going to wear a lead leg brace. I don't think he's going to be as mobile. And, you know, no Freiermuth. And there
no Deontay Johnson.
No left tackle as well.
No.
Right.
It's a lot.
In terms of net score, the Ravens are still lower than Steelers. But in terms of direction, in terms of their health. The Ravens are coming up and the Steelers are coming down, and that may cause the flip in terms
of. It's almost an 8-point drop this week for the Steelers from last week. So that's a huge drop.
That's significant there. Yeah. And so, you know, the Ravens have survived through their injuries and now are on the way up. So I think you have to factor that into the whole equation here in terms of what's happening.
Yeah, Ravens are 4.5 on the road. If you guys had to pick today, where are you leaning?
Under.
38 is the total. So yeah, books agree.
Well, I mean, I'm just doing the field view information, you know. I'm gonna let the pundits and and do the analysis. I'm an injury expert. I'm not a handicapper per se.
Yeah,
we'll put it all out there and let everyone decide. And we love it when people look at things and make their own decisions.
Add it to your tool belt, right?
As to what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what we lobby for.
Now, blindly following the scores against the Ravens and the Texans has not turned out in the past couple weeks. So yes. Texans, still the O-line issues, but it's probably part of the reason that fantasy owners might be mad at Damian Pierce, his underperforming the first 3 weeks. But it's offensive line related. They had 4 out of 5 out, and they're still out. But it seems like they're playing well through it. So it's an interesting one to pick against spread every week. Mm-hmm. Just want to throw that one in there.
Yeah, well, you know, there you got to look at game film, right? Is it really the backups are really good, or are they doing something different, like ball out with C.J. Stroud? Now, if it's ball out with C.J. Stroud that's making this all happen, well, there's for every move, there's a counter move, right? I mean, you know, why are the Bengals now saying Joe Burrow is fine, Joe Burrow's fine? Basically, oh, no, we're no longer purely shotgun, ball out real quick, Joe Burrow's fine. So, you know, don't play that cheating defense.
The playbook has opened up.
We have an opened up playbook now. I mean, now let me just tell you this. If they weren't worried about it, wouldn't they just say Joe Burrow's the same, Joe Burrow's the same? And if Joe Burrow were really healthy, look, it wouldn't be lying to say, yeah, Joe Burrow's still questionable, because, you know, if there's a 1% chance they won't play, they're still questionable.
Right.
Still list them on the injury report. Make the opponents think, okay, they're gonna have the same game plan, trying to play him, and then surprise them. Instead, they're trying to announce to the world, he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. Does anyone believe he's fine? I mean, this was a July 27th calf strain. Is he better? Sure. Is he out of the woods? No. And so they seem to be trying too hard to say he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. He's better, but I think they're trying to influence the other team a little bit,
playing
what
games.
They think.
Yeah.
Before you sign off, just want to mention our free NFL Pick'em contest. Best way to access that is through sixscore.com or on our Twitter. We got promos for that. So first place gets $100 cash and full year of Sick Picks. So that's a good value, up to $600 value. And new users who beat Doc get a free week of Sick Picks, valued at $50 a week. So,
well, I still haven't figured out all the right ways to swipe, you know, on that contest there. But yeah, we're proud to be part of the Believe Network. I've reunited some people, done some other pods with the Believe Network. Lorenzo Neal and the Charger one with Matt Money.
Yeah.
Matt Money Smith was good. Yeah. And we're going to do more of that and have some fun here, and hopefully enjoy this weekend pod as we lead into it. We've always been very strong on the Monday morning podcast coming out of the weekend, and now we're gonna give you some more stuff leading into the weekend here. So Sports Injury Central, thanks for watching and listening, and thanks to the Believe Network and sicscore.com to get the free injury edge this week, and Sick Data and Picks, and surf around there, take a look, and send some comments on what you think and like and don't like. It's from your comments that we came up with the injury edge to make life easier for everybody. Thanks for watching.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.